Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And Brett Poraminos, break even Brett, breaks out of his reputation and sweeps the board on the Tuesday edition of Trendy, getting the Timberwolves game exactly right thanks to a Luka missed free throw that secured the Ants' top scorer bed. You must have been sweating that one out.
Well, Naz Reid also blocked like his last ditch attempt too at the end of the game during the kind of chaotic ending sequence there. So I definitely needed some luck. Ant was right there, obviously. It was neck and neck between those two, and they were both gunning. But that game kind of played out, like you said, it's one of the rare wins I have. It was a little bit of a slog. I mean, it's kind of a grind fest. So the over didn't hit for you. And Edwards stepped up. Like, we talked about it on the show that he needed to put his cape on. He almost had a triple double. Like, yeah, there was a lot of good stuff. We get the series extended. We get to see if Minnesota can push him to the brink here and maybe challenge that historical no team has come back down from 3-0 kind of situation.
Look, I'm super happy that the Wolves won last night, not only because it gives me something to talk about on this show as we look forward to Thursday night and I line up a bunch of bets around that, but I flew back to Austin to see some of my old friends, and one of them is a diehard Minnesota Wolves fan. So he grew up in Minnesota, played basketball in Minnesota. They've been his favorite team since the franchise was announced. Like, I watched him suffer through so many bad years, and then to be able to sit next to him on a couch and watch him suffer through last night's game, I'm happy I get another ticket to the show on Thursday night. But it's just like, it's so special, right? Like, working in sports and sometimes rooting for teams that don't succeed, like Everton, you forget what it's like to suffer for a really long time and then finally have this breakthrough experience. And even when it's not your team, even when you're getting like the secondhand smoke of fan enjoyment, it's still an intoxicating reason why we do this in the first place.
I mean, I'm intoxicated by even following along to the Rangers score lines and wondering what Eddie's doing right now. Our other producer, yeah. Eddie Spaghetti, diehard Rangers friends, 3 OT games for him. And Eddie is in my thoughts. There's probably needs to be a wellness check on Eddie today, but.
Well, I don't say this often, and so don't clip this one out, but I'm with Damashek for once. Damashek, doesn't like the newfound hockey towns. It's like, oh, Vegas doesn't deserve a Stanley Cup. And I'm not saying Vegas doesn't deserve a Stanley Cup. I don't go that far with him, but there is really something to the suffering. There's something to the suffering. There is something through the 20 years of sewer that you have to crawl through to get like the rain on you, like Dufresne and Shawshank. It just feels more impactful after watching someone care so much for so long over a bunch of losses, a bunch of lost seasons, and finally like get to a place here where it matters. And there's only 8 fan bases right now that where it matters, right? Like, there's 4 in hockey and there's 4 in basketball. And you sit with one of those, it's like, God, it's like, you start feeling jealous. You start feeling all these emotions. Like, I wish one of my DC teams would make a run again. But it is more special because I watched them eat crap for so long.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think part of it, too, is when a team hasn't been around for a while, like, there's just no history. There's no tradition. Like, it just feels weird when an expansion team like the Vegas Knights wins, right? Like, there's nothing, I mean, even if it, because one way or the other, if a team has history, it's either going to be good history where they're piling on and they're adding to kind of their legacy as a franchise, or there's the suffering that you're talking about, like for these teams that go 20 years and these fans are just starving for anything. You know what I mean? Like, they just want something to come along and be good and give them some hope after years of wandering through the desert. So I'm with you. I mean, it's just not fun. Like, it's not fun when newer expansion franchises win. Like, I mean, you know, props those franchises. Like, if they're well run and they're winning, like, give those people credit for doing it, but give me the history. Give me the soccer club that, you know, used like an Ajax run where they used to be winning and competing for Champions League titles. And then, you know, then their league basically gets decimated by the financial landscape. But then they have that run, you know, all the way to the Final Four a couple of years ago with this exciting young core. And you get this historic team that hasn't ever pushed it. It was kind of an irrelevant team in the Champions League at that point, you know, kind of coming back, having their one last shot at glory. I was all in on that ride. Like, I think that stuff is fun. I think that's the most enjoyable thing in sports, is kind of when the downtrodden franchise, the forgotten giant or whatever that has been like strewn by the wayside, comes back into the fold and has a chance to win the title.
Yeah, and it's journey over destination, right? Like, I don't get outraged that Vegas won the title. And that's not actually what matters all that much to me. In some ways, this is going to be a stupid take, but what the hell? I'm already halfway into it. Regardless of winning the title or not, it's like, I would actually rather be a fan of a team where you have history. Like, I've got 20 years, I've got 30 years, I have 40 years. Whether we actually win the title or not, having that history is its own burden, but it's also its own benefit. It's also this shared and depth of experience. Like, Vegas can't help that they're an expansion team. Vegas can't help that they won the title that quickly, right? But, like, I don't know. I imagine a Bills fan would, like, bite my head off for saying this. But in some ways, I would rather have the 40 to 50 years of, like, depth and generations and cycles and all the sort of things you go through as a fan who's had it that long, then winning it after just like 2 years or 3 years. And then that's just like your entire sports experience for that particular franchise.
Yeah. It doesn't feel earned. Like, that's the only thing, a way I can kind of phrase it, is like, it feels like sports fandom is tough. Like, it is a grueling experience. You are disappointed far more than you're elated about your teams. You know, you and I think, like, when you think about that, like, there is like almost a rite of passage where it feels like you should have to go through some fallow years where there's nothing going on with your franchise and there's no excitement and no playoffs. Cause that's like where you get your badge of honor. Like, you know, where you're like, I stuck it out when they were nothing. Yeah. And everybody else like got to experience the World Series that happened before I was born or whatever it was. Well, I stuck it out through the down years and I earned this, you know, like, there is something to that where I think expansion franchises, there's nothing. Like, your team gets your city gets a team and they win right away. And it's like, oh, like, cool. Like, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, just watching my friends last night, like, you know, my buddy and his wife, like, they share the love for the Timberwolves. Like, she's wearing the gear and because she's from Minnesota too. And she refuses to come down from watching upstairs because they go on an 8-0 run while she's watching on the upstairs television. And so she refuses to come downstairs. And like, all those sorts of things that develop over a lifetime together is super special. And so whether the Wolves come back, whether, you know, Dallas breaks through and makes their run, whether it's the Stars or the Edmonton Oilers or the New York Rangers or whatever it is, just like, I think that this time is so special for that fan base. And even if you can't get it yourself, get it secondhand, like, find Eddie Spaghetti, give him a hug, watch a game with him or the Spaghetti-esque people out in the world, and just like, just enjoy it. Enjoy watching the sideshow that is a fan having a nervous meltdown in game four, just praying there's a game five, not even like a title's on the line. Like, just like, what are you willing to give up for just one more hit on this pipe on Thursday? And it was an uncomfortable amount.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do. I would have to say, though, I feel like watching a Rangers game with Eddie right now at this stage of the playoffs might be more of a punishment thing than like an enjoyment thing. But definitely, if you see Eddie Spaghetti on the street, give him a hug, and always give Toby a hug, because he's a DC guy. He just needs a hug because he is in the middle of the suffering right now.
Yeah, well, that's probably why I make these other fan bases feel so seen. So you got, as we said earlier, game four exactly right. And now you are abandoning game five to give out a ton of bets to a minor golf tournament. So kudos. Can't wait to hear those right after this break.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. the word Omaha, and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Brett, we are back. And as mentioned at the top of the show, you swept the board, getting 12.2 units already banked on just 5 units of action. I came out above board because of the Dodgers extra innings win the other day against the Mets. So I'm at 5.8 against 5 units wagers as well. But that squarely gives you honors appropriate for someone who's about to give out a massive number of golf bets. So you're up on the tee. Go ahead. What are you going to hit down the fairway for the first one?
Well, I first want to say that I probably have exceeded my trendy high in just one day. Anybody that's listened to us in Covered in Glory knows that I am not like a grinded out, consistent breakthrough or break even better. I am massive highs. I climb Everest and then I fall off the cliff. This week is probably going to be a microcosm of what happens the entire year of Covered in Glory. But I'm hoping I can challenge for the record if I can get some of these right. Because some of these golf picks are going to have some big plus numbers by them.
Gilmore before he learned how to putt.
Yeah, exactly. That's your betting strategy. Exactly. So for this one, we talked a little bit yesterday. The RBC Canadian Open was actually quite a bit of fun last year. Unfortunately, they did move venues, so I don't know if some of the stuff that made it fun is going to be the same. But it was cool to see a Canadian champ after so long. Like we just talked in the opening about long suffering, the way that they embraced Nick Taylor, the Canadian fans when he won, was really cool. So my heart pick is going to go with a Canadian player over the prohibitive favorite in Rory McIlroy in round one scoring alone. So Taylor Pendrith has been on a tear lately. He will be playing for his national title essentially. And he's the kind of guy that when he gets hot, he's really good. He could miss the cut this week, but he could also win the tournament. All these Canadian guys have, as we'll talk about when another one comes up later, have plays to both extremes. But he's plus 220 to beat Rory just in round one scoring. And I kind of feel like with his game, the way that he can have these really low rounds, Rory is definitely the opposite of me in betting. He grinds out good scores. He throws up a bunch of 67s. He just doesn't go Wyndham Clark style and shoot 161 and then put himself in contention. So Rory will be in contention to win this tournament, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to go low every single day. And Pendrith has the capacity in any round playing in front of his home country fans to go really low. I like the 2-1, basically over 2-1 odds for that.
It'll shock you to know that I don't have a whole bunch of Pendrith takes. So I'm going to steer clear of this one. But I will say our Canadian fans have to be pinching themselves right now. You're giving out a ton of Canadian Open bets, and I am opening with a hockey bet. On the heart category, I am going to go with Spaghetti's aforementioned Rangers, and I'm going to go with them plus 1.5 and Crater under 0.5 assists at plus 108. Every one of these games so far, as we've talked about being bad for Spaghetti's health, has been a nail biter with OT thriller after OT thriller. And the Rangers are dogs yet again in MSG, something I still can't fully understand, nor has been fully explained to me. So I'm going to take a huge insurance policy since I'm going to get 1.5 goals in the Garden. But the cost of that insurance policy versus just taking the money line is Crater again failing to provide an assist. Spaghetti made him his heater last week, and I tied him into my otherwise successful parlay last night. He's failed to record an assist in 9 straight games. If he's not going to come through the Rangers, he might as well come through for us to turn this into a plus money play in the Garden on Thursday night. So the Rangers keep another close game. They either win or they at least keep within 1 goal. If it goes to OT, you're already in the money there as long as Crater does not get an assist and you come in at plus 108.
You know what? I'm probably going to regret this. I'm going to wait to hear the rest of your picks, but I kind of want to tail that one. That is to go more into golf terminology, that is the leader of the clubhouse right now. That a lot, especially because I did follow along the entire week Eddie was on and noticed that Crater did not record an entire point. And now that you told me that it's dated back to 9 games that he hasn't done that, I like that. And I like that serious thing, close as it has been, as bad as it is for Eddie's health. But I'm gonna hold off. That's definitely the leader in the clubhouse. But I'll go with my head pick here while I'm ruminating. And we're gonna move away from Canada. We're gonna take an Irishman this time. So another round one kind of versus bet here is we're gonna take Seamus Power over KH Lee in round one for -125. Seamus Power is an interesting player. We'll make it short and sweet because nobody probably cares too much about Seamus Power. But if you are thinking about betting this, I'll give you the quick lowdown. Seamus Power was a top 40 player in the Data Golf rankings just as recently as February of 2022. He kind of went through the wilderness in about the last 8 months, but about the last 4 months, after a few rough starts in the tournament season this year, he's had some really good results. And KH Lee is trending the exact opposite director. Data Golf has him as like their 135th ranked player in the world. And he is plummeting down from in the 50s. And he has missed a bunch of cuts this year. He is extremely inconsistent round to round. And Power is the kind of guy that'll just grind out good scores in a tournament venue like this, where there's not a lot of par fives, which is kind of his weakness. Most really good players chew up par fives. There's only going to be 2 on the course this week. So Power doesn't have that disadvantage going into it. So I like that number.
Okay. That one might actually be joining yours and the leader in the clubhouse, but I do want to hear the rest of your analysis on, what do you have, 4 more picks coming out since you're giving out all of your heaters today. I am going to get back over to the hardwood and where you should be given the way that you're reading the game right now, but I'm copying you with a Daniel Gafford over. Gafford over 15.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And so Gafford has now hit this in 9 of the last 10 games, and Lively looks like he's probably going to be out yet again. And if he's out and Gafford's going to play like 30, 35 minutes, this feels like a complete lock to me. But even if he doesn't, when I say he's hit this in 9 out of 10, he's only hit 30 plus minutes in 1 of those 10 contests. So even in like 20, 22 minutes, he's more than capable of clearing such low numbers. So I like locking this in early before the Lively news gets officially announced, because I feel this can move to like 18.5, 19.5 with that announcement. You're getting value now and you can still hit it even if Lively comes out and plays 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the Lively injury is kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to shy away from game 5. It's like, I'm not sure he has been, and we talked about it, the reason we made the Gafford bet, or I made the Gafford bet that you tailed the last show, is he's been a huge difference maker in the series and throughout the Mavs for the playoffs. And so it's hard for me to kind of gauge it. I knew he was going to be out in game 4. It kind of gave me a really clear read on the game. But the reason I shifted into golf is like that a crucial player's injury status and kind of juggling it up. I think you're right. I think it's a good idea to lock in the number, because if he is out, that'll shoot up. I mean, you're 100% right that is going to go up 2-3 total points, rebounds, assists for sure.
Well, you did mention that I am a DC sports fan, so I will say the thing my Wolves friend Nick is most upset about is the Wizards dumping Gafford on the Mavericks for virtually nothing and how impactful he's been on this series. And so I think it's interesting because, you know, the Wizards have obviously been pretty terrible on the court, but I think Tommy Shepard or whoever was involved in getting rid of Beal deserves like a Nobel Peace Prize for that trade. So like, generally speaking, they've done well in dumping the contracts that Grunfeld handed out. But this one, definitely they impacted the balance of this season in a way that's really annoying to other fan bases.
Yeah, I mean, there. The funny thing is I think they're already rumored to possibly be in the Jared Allen sweepstakes, as Cleveland's going to reconfigure their roster a little bit, and Mobley and Allen, I'm assuming Allen's going to be the odd man out. And one of the teams I saw listed as being interested in Jared Allen was the Wizards, because they create a huge hole in that spot with the Gaffer trade. So
yeah,
it's Washington DC sports. I'm sorry, buddy. Again, everybody see Toby, give him a hug. Just give him a hug.
I'm sure Bronny's going to look great in that Wizards uniform. What do you have in the heater? You're giving out all of your golf picks, so your entire heater is going to be spent in the next 4 minutes. Go.
Yeah, well, we'll try to make it closer than 4 minutes. I'll do a quick breakdown here, but it's going to be top 10 bets for the RBC Canadian Open. And the first one is going to be Sahith Theegala, top 10, plus 220. Theegala is just a crazy player. Most times when you do golf betting stuff, you try to match up a course to a player's strengths. Like I talked about how Seamus Power gets a little bit of a boost playing here because it's a par 70 and he's not a kind of guy that eats up on par fives. There is no course that Theegala has shown us that he just plays better at. He plays well at short courses with tight with tight fairways. He plays well at long courses. He plays well at courses where you need to be a good second shot player. He plays well at courses that you need to be great around the greens. He just shows up kind of in random spots. So he's an interesting guy, but he does have 5 top 10s already this year. He's got 6 top 12s, if you give him a top 12 that he had recently in the PGA Championship. And his putter pretty much makes it a coin flip for him to get into a top 10, any tournament that he's in. So whether it's the RBC or not, and this is a pretty weak field, and he is one of the best players in it. So I do like that you're getting over 2-1 there. The next one is going to be Alex Noren, Swedish golfer. He's plus 240 to top 10. Noren has quietly, basically, he's a great all-around player. He's going to fit any course really well. And he has quietly had one of the best seasons. He's 41 years old. He's having his peak season in his golfing career. Quietly been one of the best players on the PGA Tour. I would say arguably one of the 4 best players in the field, also getting over 2-1 for him to top 10. And then the final one is, I am going to go Canada here. I'm going to drink some maple syrup, take a quick shot of it, and then say, Adam Hanwin, you are also one of the Canadians I mentioned, that you just show up. There is most times when you're on Data Golf or Rick Rungood or wherever you get your golf information, players leave you little nuggets. They'll tell you, they'll be like, oh, my approach play, it's getting there. I'm going to have a big tournament. My driving is getting on track. I'm going to have a big tournament. If anybody can tell me when Adam Hadwin is going to have a big tournament, when he just randomly shows up in the top 10 after missing 3 cuts and losing strokes on approach and then strikes the ball like he's prime Jack Nicklaus, please DM me. Tell me. I would like to know how you know when Adam Hadwin is going to have a good tournament. But he is a dude that is very capable of winning tournaments out of nowhere. He is playing in front of his home crowd. Big theme for me this week was there are only 2 par fives. He gets hurt on courses because he does not score well on par fives. And again, he's got the hometown Canada boost. So I'm going with a Hadwin top 10. This one may help me win Trendy though, because it's plus 450, Toby. So okay. If I hit this one, Trendy Records might be in sight.
Yeah, well, after your Tuesday performance, they certainly should be a little bit nervous. The club record holder, whoever that is right now, is Damashek. Like he's under attack. I'm going to stay away from all 3 of those. Not that I don't think you know what you're talking about. I just don't know how to distinguish between those 3. And I like the head-to-head matchups a little bit better, since I'll know the result by Friday's show rather than having to wait till Sunday. Although I did appreciate all of your rationale and the time you took, because it gave me time to look up that Will Dawkins actually traded Bradley Beals. Tommy Shepard had already moved on. I want to make sure the Nobel Peace Prize lands in the right house. So I'm giving out all of my Champions League finals props on Friday for my heater. And that 4, we just got cred left, buddy, and you still have honors. So what are you giving out on your cred pick here on this Wednesday edition?
Well, this is my favorite one here of the whole day. The juice is not great. It's Mark Hubbard over Justin Suh, round 1, head to head at minus 155. So you are swallowing some juice for sure. But Justin Suh is basically on his way out of losing his PGA Tour card. He has completely lost an approach. His putting, which used to be kind of his weapon, is completely hit or miss at this point. He has lost strokes in 4 of his last 8 tournaments putting, and that's like his weapon. That's his thing. He's got a terrible short game, and Hubbard is about one of the most consistent players that you'll find on the PGA Tour. Pretty accurate off the tee, great second shot player, solid putter, solid around the greens. this one just seems like a layup because Suh could miss the cut pretty easily this week. He's probably actually, I haven't looked at the odds, but I'm guessing he is favored to miss the cut. And Hubbard has a pretty impressive cut streak on his own. I think it's like 9 or 10 in a row at this point. So I'll eat the minus 155 and stick with my guy Hubs here.
Okay. After hearing your rationale, I am going to back Seamus Power. I don't want to eat the minus 155 in a head-to-head contest, although you're making a very compelling case. I mean, I might actually go and put these two together, right? Like any place that might let me parlay some round one results because you made such a good case, and I just don't want to take the minus 155 when I'm down 7 units. So I will follow you on the minus 125 with Power because I thought you made a strong case there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this, that I would probably be not having this be my cred pick if I wasn't doing a little gamesmanship here. And it's a good bet. It feels like a safe bet to help me hold my lead against Toby. I got to get a win on him here. So
yeah, first time for everything. So for my cred pick, I am taking Luka, and I'm just going to take him over his 30.5 points minus 113 here on this Wednesday afternoon. I think Luka is going to go for the jugular in game 5. And we already talked about on yesterday's show just how they have no answers for him whatsoever. And when he's doing insane things like hitting 30-foot, you know, 4-point plays in the last 10 seconds of games, it really just shows the level of shot making that he is delivering right now. I also think that Luka, particularly because of his personal relationship with the Joker, but even if he didn't have a relationship, you couldn't have missed this fact. He saw what happened to Denver when they thought they had Minnesota beat, and I do not expect them to have a let-off game, or him specifically to have a let-off game. He's got some professional wrestler in him, not just because he's selling moves. It almost feels like he'd prefer to win on the road. Like he wants to wave bye to that Minnesota crowd. He wants to be the heel. And so I think he would love sending Minnesota fans home in game 5. And I guess my only like fear is that if they shut it down because they fall far behind, you know, in the fourth quarter and they want to rest him for game 6, but honestly, at that point anyway, like if they fell far behind, I'm probably not even close to 30.5. And therefore, you know, I probably had already lost the bet before they sat him. So he's kind of also, Brett, he's also kind of inspiring me to want to return to pickup. Like, obviously, I'm not 6'8", but I'm a slow white guy who's slightly overweight. And so, like, if I'm not 6'8", I am 6 foot. Can I find some, like, 5'8", 5'9", guy at the Y that I could do to him what Luka is doing to the NBA guys? Like, just find some way to put my big butt in them and just, like, walk down the lane and force bad choices. I kind of want to get back and see. I want to just get back and see if I can do this. Like, it looks super fun to be slow and unathletic and still somehow unstoppable. So I think we see it one more time. 30.5 does not feel out of reach for a guy playing on his level. And it also allows me to bet the Mavs without upsetting my friend Nick entirely and taking the Mavs on the money line here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the other thing we need in your game is definitely the mid shot pass out to the corner three. We can get you. We'll get you the whole old man crafty. We'll get you some Milos Teodosius tape as well. Get you a little skip action in where you can do some little fake dribbles and fake some passes and then really get into your old man game right there. We'll get you go. We'll have you full old man Euro. I think after hearing that one, I love Luka. I definitely think I love your take that he is a wrestling heel and would love to win on the road, but I still like that first bet. Is my favorite, the Rangers ones with Crater. So I'm going to tail that one. I think that's my tail for today.
All right. Well, we had a power outage this morning, Brett. And so we're taping 4 hours later than planned. So my original cred pick is going to be my second guess express. It might be a little late for everybody to get it in, but still, let's not delay it any farther. Let's take our break and then we'll be right back with second guess express. All right, Brett, we are back, and my second guess express is not original. I don't even feel like I need the second guess express bump to make this a lock. It is the Dodgers minus a run and a half, yet again, the run line. They are somehow a plus number against the Mets today. They are plus 130. I mean, come on. I mean, what else do we have to see here? They are plus money against David Peterson, who is coming off the injured list to face this murderer's row. And even when he was healthy last year, he had a 5+ ERA. This is cruel. This man has a family. Wait one more day or two more days. Don't make him come back off the injured list to play against the freaking Dodgers. Like, even the Lions in the Coliseum would think this was a little bit too easy. So I really wanted to pick something else to spice up the show, but I'm not turning down this gift horse. It might be a little late for you guys to get it in because of our delay, but if you can, plus 130 feels like the safest bet on the board for the next 2 days.
And see, now I'm really ruining that power outage, because if I break the record, I would need your picks, and I love that pick. And not that I'm saying the Rangers, I'm fairly confident in your Rangers one as well, but I would have loved to have tailed that pick if I had the opportunity. And I need all the units I can get if I'm going to chase down Dave here. For me, this is simply just like the juice didn't seem worth it, but Rory has won two out of his last three tournaments. The one he didn't win was a T12 at the PGA Championship. He is minus 175 to top 10, and he won here. He won the Canadian Open here when it was played at this course in 2019. He is playing great golf. He's smashing the golf ball off the tee as Rory does. Everything else is coming to form. It seems like this should be minus 250 for him, at least a top 10, but because it's minus 175, I just didn't think it was really worth it. But this almost was a cred pick for me. I still think it's probably worth putting a little bit of something on, especially if you can parlay it into something else. Rory is easily going to finish in the top 10 in this tournament unless something really weird happens.
Well, let's see what weird happens at extra points this week. We already had Lemon Pepper Parlay. Martin hit his in the Wolves game last night. Both of them were heavy on the Wolves. Oh, no, sorry. Mark hit his. Martin was a Cat believer, and Cat was the difference maker last night, but he picked him on a double-double, did not get to double-digit on rebounds. So if we go back and listen to it, they also did a lot of talk about the Celtics and the upcoming finals and what to expect there. I have not listened to the Hench and Damashek episode of Minus 3 yet, but that is definitely something I look forward to doing later this evening, hear what they have to say about Bill Walton. And then extra points will also be out sometime later today. And then Brett and I will be back with our Covered in Glory crossover, talking Champions League finals almost exclusively here on Friday. So go ahead and skip it if you hate the beautiful game. I mean, we might have a Wolves pick in there if they win in game 5. But otherwise, come back for that, where it will be very focused on Real Madrid and Dortmund playing in the biggest soccer game of the year. You excited, Brett?
I am. And I do want to issue a little bit of an apology here for our extra points and minus 3 fans. Is I was a little too late. There was a great Twitter thread of all of Angel Hernandez's horrible calls throughout his career. And it was like 15 deep. And this guy was adding onto it. And I tried to get it to Eddie to give it to Hench before they recorded. So Hench would have had like a little bit of an extra motivation to go hard at Angel Hernandez. I did not get it in time. I apologize, because I feel like that was my chance to really throw some gasoline on the Von Hench's fire. Yeah. And I failed the extra points crowd. But I am super excited for our Champions League podcast on Friday. So hopefully, if you're a soccer fan, or if you're just at least interested in the soccer Super Bowl, we can make up a little bit of that there.
Yeah, I mean, my question for Angel Hernandez is, why now? Why not 30 years ago? Like, why is this the moment? I guess it's because the robot umps are coming and it's going to get even more embarrassing for him. But I think that is a well-earned and well-deserved retirement. But we always have to have people we love to hate, and that's what something robot umps are going to take away. Like, we talked about passionate fan bases at the top, and it's a lot harder to scream at faceless robots than Blue standing behind the plate.
You're absolutely right. I mean, well, I don't know. We're fans. We can find a way to get mad at robots, right? I won't be, because they're going to be our overlords one day. So I'm going to be like, great call, robot umpire. Yeah. Great job. Here, I'm going to type this in on Twitter. Robot umpires are doing a great job.
Yeah. No, you should just show up at the game with the signs. Like, people show up, you know, for the players, but you show up for the robot umps. You're asking for like the robot umps jersey, even though they don't wear them. You should do things like that.
The T-1000 was a good guy.
Misunderstood the T-1000.
Yeah, just a misunderstood robot. I got what he was doing. John Connor's
the real hero of that. Yeah, the real hero of that was the T-1000. We needed like a Cobra Kai-esque spinoff all these years later from the T-1000's point of view.
Or just the way that, like, you watch Karate Kid and Billy Zabka's character is actually the real Karate Kid, and Ralph Macchio screws him over. So
there you go. All right. Well, enough of that. Let's let everybody get on with their day. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the playoff action and apparently something that's happening on a golf course in Canada. And we might have at least one person listen to it, which will be Brett. He will come back and talk to us about it on Friday. Until then, take care, everyone.